A new report called Where Will All the Trees Be? Shows the percentage of tree cover across Australia. It's the third instalment of Australia's only National Tree Canopy Benchmarking Report series. We've had a couple of hot days this week, and as another summer approaches just around the corner, we decided to take a look at which areas in Sydney have had an increase in green cover in recent years and where the rate is decreasing. To do this, we are joined by Principal of Urban Forest Consulting, Meg Caffin, who is a research consultant to this report. Good morning.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'll start off by asking you, can you tell us about Where Will All the Trees Be report and what it's addressing?
Sure. So with this piece of work, we were aiming to understand the level of change in green cover. So that's the change in tree and shrub cover across all of our major cities within Australia. And that was, as you mentioned, a cumulative results of analysis over 2013, 2016 and 2020. And from that analysis, we've looked to understand what are some of the key challenges in both maintaining that green cover but also trying to enhance it. And then the third component of the work was really looking to understand, well, who was doing it really well and why, and what can we learn from those who are leading in this space.
Which areas were doing it well? In Sydney, that is.
Yeah, in Sydney. So interestingly, and unsurprisingly, so the greatest gains in green cover were seen in your more leafier areas. So Sutherland Shire, the Hills, Ku-ring-gai, Northern Beaches, Hornsby. But we were also seeing gains in Penrith and Parramatta, which is great, in Campbelltown. And we were seeing small increases and worth noting in some of the more inner city areas like City of Sydney, North Sydney, Willoughby, Randwick, Mossman.
And it's definitely easier for areas that have got heaps of space or already have national parks within the areas.
That's right.
To increase trees. And I'm a bit of an optimist, so I would like to focus on the areas that have improved their tree cover. But first, let's go to the dark side. Which areas has seen a loss of canopy cover?
Yeah, so the biggest loss we saw was in Ryde. They saw a 4% loss over the period between 2016 and 20. Canterbury-Brankstown had considerable loss. Woollahra did as well. And smaller losses were seen in Camden, Blacktown and Burwood.
And in the areas, particularly in Western Sydney, last summer we saw record-breaking heat waves with temperatures topping up to 50 degrees. While long-term plans are crucial for improving tree canopy cover and trees and shrub cover, what kind of urgent action should be taking place? Is there enough urgent action?
Yeah, really great question. And the answer to that is yes and no. So I'll break it down into kind of two components. There's the green cover that we see in our public realm, so on our streets and our parks, which local governments themselves are generally in control of. And across the board, I would say that there is significant action happening in that space, which has been supported by the state government with their 5 million trees program and grants attached to that. But then there's the private realm, and I'll talk about Parramatta in a second, but what we're seeing is not enough action in this space. And whilst this Where Will All the Trees report didn't break down green cover change by land use type, public versus private, for example, we know through working with a lot of these councils and in other further studies that whilst some of the councils are growing tree canopy cover overall in their municipality, if you're looking at private land and particularly private residential land, there are cumulative losses happening across Sydney. And it isn't just Sydney. We're seeing it across every single city across Australia. And so I would say that there's certainly not enough urgent action being undertaken to both protect and enhance our green cover in the private realm. We're relying on developers and state planning frameworks and planners within local authorities to try and gain ground, but it is a very difficult scenario.
Yeah, that definitely makes it complex when you're versing public versus private. Look, the ever-growing population means that development is inevitable, but as grey cover rises, the idea is that we also want green cover to rise as well. Excuse me. How can green cover be encouraged in the planning and development stage? You've got experience working with metropolitan and regional local governments and state government. So I'm curious, how can it be encouraged in the planning and development stage?
Yeah, so I guess there are three mechanisms that we focus on, and we need each one of them to, I guess, perform in order for things to work really well. And I referred to the City of Parramatta before. They have been nominated as one of the best on ground within the work that we did, because not only are they growing at an exponential rate with population-wise and development going on, they've also managed to increase their green cover at the same time. And there are a whole range of mechanisms that have supported that. So first of all, they've put in place a very strong planning framework with the state government. They've made some DCP changes and they enforce those with their developers. They also work very closely with developers, and they're seeking developers who are leading edge and who are willing to think about the impact that their developments have on the broader livability and health and wellbeing requirements of their urban spaces. And the third thing is, I guess, educating and bringing residents and community along for the journey as well. So educating people on the importance of green cover and trees, which therefore in return increase the demand for greener development as well. We see that particularly happening with apartments and not so much in Parramatta, but certainly in subdivisions as well. If you have a community who demand a leafier, greener space to live in, then developers are much more likely to deliver a product that's being demanded. So I guess there are three prongs there. There's state government regulation and control and support. There's seeking out leading developers. And then there's educating the community to come along the journey as well.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. But Meg, thank you so much for joining us and breaking it down.
Very welcome. Have a great day.